Yeah,
now can we reuse?
Purposes only.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful, it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Hope your Saturday's a good one. Perhaps you're planning on spending some time in the pool or with your family. Maybe the ladies are shopping. But if you're working on a car and you've got a problem, I think I can help you. And it's easy to do. Just give us a call. That's the important part. You have to call us, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. I don't have email access in the studio right now, but Monday through Friday, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you can also email me, and our website is simple. It's marksalem.com. For those of you that have great memories, unlike myself, it's mark@marksalem.com, so you can always remember that. And there's lots of automotive information on our website. I think there's 600-800 pages of auto stuff. And our frequently asked questions are an effort after 20 years. We try to identify the most popular questions and then identify them and then talk about them on our on our website. Excuse me. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley and Mesa. Main Street, east of Stapley in Mesa. They've been in business since 1970. They're equipped to handle anything on your foreign or domestic vehicles, including the motorhomes. They're a AAA approved shop. They are an ASE certified Blue Seal shop. And what that means is he's in the top 10% with master technicians. They're a great shop. And Brian is on the TechNet Council for CarQuest, which helps determine and talk about some of the industry issues and industry problems and repairs for industry problems. They were named Business of the Year 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. And they are on my best car repair shop list that you can find at marksalem.com. Okay, you may think that it would be great to have me as a family member, your brother, because you'd think, with Mark, you never break down. But last weekend, we broke down. And I think that goes to show a couple things. No matter who you are, and I'm not the best guy in the world. I'm not the best personally guy in the world. I'm not the most well-behaved guy in the world. I'm not the lily white guy that other people are. And I'm not the best tech in the world. But no matter who you are in the auto industry, you're going to break down. So we're up north at the ranch. It's Saturday afternoon. My daughter Andy's going to head back in my wife's Denali. So we go out to, you know, say goodbye to her because my wife and I are going to stay till Tuesday morning. We've got some livestock to deal with. And he hits the key to the Denali and it goes click. And now there's an FAQ on our website. It's number 28 that talks about how to diagnose why your car doesn't crank over. Okay, it's not start because start indicates to us that it's cranking over, but it doesn't catch. So start and crank are two important words here. This is just, it won't crank over. So I take this as an opportunity to kind of train my daughter and my wife about what you look for, okay? So the first thing I do is I have them turn the headlights on. And the headlights are white and bright. So then I have Andy get out and I say, come here. And I have Renee get in the driver's seat. Well, I ask my wife Renee to get into the driver's seat. So she gets in and I say, hit the key. She hits the key, and the headlights go completely out. And as soon as she lets go of the key, there's a slight delay, and then there's a click, and the headlights come back on bright. So I touch both battery cables, and that's something you have to be careful with because you don't want to burn yourself. So touch them quick. And I touch both of them a little slower each time and determine they're both cold, which means there's no bad connection at the battery cable. But I've seen technicians brand their fingers by not paying attention that they can be virtually red hot. So be careful when you do that. So I don't have a bad battery connection. It looks like I got a good battery. and I've got this click. Now, the click and the headlights coming on white and bright the minute you let go of the key, that tells you that the solenoid is probably defective. Now, here's what happens. When you send electricity to the starter solenoid will send a gear that's stopped. This gear to hit the other gear that drives your motor, that cranks your motor over. But we can't engage that when it's spinning. Okay, it'll tear up the teeth. So we don't. We don't spin that gear until we throw it out and it engages the teeth on your flywheel. And then, through mechanical devices, we make the engine or the starter start working and it cranks your engine over and starts. So after we try it and we click it, I don't know how many times, I put the jumper cables on and thinking maybe I can overcome this problem, and I can't. So then I go get a hammer and I crawl underneath the truck, but I didn't want to be the only one enjoying this, so I made Andy, my daughter, crawl underneath her. I asked Andy to crawl underneath her with me. So we're beating on the starter, and I tell you what, 9 out of 10 times when you have a click, especially on a Ford, 9 out of 10 times, Honda's, Toyota's are the same too, it'll start. Because the brushes aren't touching the back of the armature, and as soon as you hit it a couple times with a hammer, then the brushes vibrate down, hit the armature, and starts up. So that doesn't work. So I've tried jumper cables. I've tried beating on the starter. I know it's not the battery. I know it's not a bad connection. It just has to be a defective starter. But there's something that's bugging me about this, and there's a delay from the time I see my wife turn the key off until the time I hear the click and the relaxation of the starter. So I go over and I think, you know what, this has got a starter relay underneath the hood. So I open up the fuse panel and I find the starter relay. And I pull it out and I say, hit the key, nothing happens. I know I've got the right relay. So this starter has 4 pins on it, and I plug in the back 2 and I rock the front 2 forward. And I say to Renee, hold the key on the start position. So I plug the back 2 terminals in, and the top 2 terminals, it's a little square box. There's 2 terminals top, 2 terminals on bottom. They're blade kind of connections, like a flat piece of metal. That's called a blade. So I rock it forward, click, and I let go, and it rapidly unwinds. Click, 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 click. And I'm thinking to myself, why is it when she's hitting the key that there's a delay, but it's not delaying here at the solenoid? So I think, okay, well, I don't care right now. I'll figure out the answer to that question when I get this bear running. So after spending 10, 20 minutes on it, I think to myself, well, we're stuck here because Andy wants to go home Saturday night. We want to go home Tuesday. Maybe she can bring another vehicle back up. How are we going to get this home? Tow trucks, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just sitting there thinking. I say to Renee, one more time, hold it on to the start position. And I start rapidly rocking that solenoid or that starter relay. Click, 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 click. Starts right up. I was motivated by a couple of reasons. I was motivated to get this truck running because I didn't want my daughter to have to bring up, or my daughter and my son, or you know, whoever, have to bring up 2 vehicles so that we could get home. I was also motivated by the hysterical laughter of my wife and my daughter as they saw the car guy scratching his head. I was motivated by that. I admit to that. It wasn't like my wife and I had rosy days the next couple of days. But it was worth it. So anyway, Andy got home okay, and I said to Andy, when you get home, have the guys change the starter, and I want them to change the relay as well. So she gets home, and she makes a command decision that it starts fine, Dad. We're not going to do that. So now, between you and me, I'm going to sit back, and I'm not going to argue with her. I mean, after all, who's in a better position to determine what the heck to do? Okay? My wife, my daughter, or me? So it's no big deal. I said to them, okay. So between you and me, I'm just going to sit back and wait. She's going to get stuck here pretty soon. And then she's going to have somebody come and help her, and she's going to say, my husband rocked a solenoid or a relay right here, and they're going to go, which one of the 20 in this box is it? And she's going to say, I don't know, how do you know which one was? So I'm just going to sit back, and this is an opportunity for learning, if you know what I mean. Those of you that have been married a long time, this is an opportunity for learning. So anyway, that's the story of my life. But other than that, this week has been good. It's been really hot, as you well know. Your air conditioning is either working or it isn't. And if it isn't, you're not a happy camper. But I want to talk to you about 2 things real quick. Number one, the phone number, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or a car problem, or if you want me to settle a bet between you and your wife, 602-508-0960. Number two, tires explode and tires go bad for two reasons: under inflation or excessive load. They kind of go hand in hand, but you can underinflate it and blow the tire, or you can overload it and blow the tire. So they work independently of one another, but they can work hand in hand. So if you don't know what air to put in your tires, there's two places you'll likely to find it. Actually, three. You'll find air pressure in the owner's manual. You'll find an air pressure sticker on the driver's door jamb. And you'll find a number written on the side of the sidewall that's in somewhat small letters that says this. It says maximum load 1100, KPA, which is an import measurement, and 2200 LBS, 2200 pounds, at 35 PSI. I want you, when you're in doubt about what that car should have, I want you to put what the tire says on it. With maximum inflation, we have lots of good
2 minutes
and only one negative, and you'll never even know the negative anyway. The good is better fuel economy. The good is the tire runs cooler. The good is that the tire, when you get the car sideways on the road at 70 miles an hour, it's not likely to trip, roll, and kill everybody. It also hits a curb, and it doesn't. A fully inflated tire weathers a curb hit much better than a tire that's half inflated, because it'll bounce off the curb instead of allowing the wheel to cut the sidewall of the tire. Here's the negative. The negative is that you might have a harsher ride. And I'm going to tell you something. It's been years since I found somebody that came back to the shop and said, you did something to my car because it rides not like it used to do before. Because when we do your oil change, we roll your tires up to maximum for your benefit. That's what I do to my mom. That's what I do to everybody. We just put them at the maximum inflation, and once a year somebody will come in and say, whoa, it rides harsh. Well, I'll tell you why it did that, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put them back down to what the door sticker says, but I did that for your best.
1 minute.
That's the kind of stuff it is. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And one more thing I want to talk to you about, and that's this. If you ever have a stuck throttle in your car, I want you to think about what you would do. You're driving down the road, you're at highway speeds, let's pretend, and all of a sudden the car is on its own. It's as if you weren't even there. You steer, and you hit the brakes, and the brakes cannot hold the car back. You keep hitting the brakes, nothing's happening. You're scared, your mind is racing, and you don't know what to do. So you start stabbing with your right foot at the gas pedal. You hit it, you put your foot underneath the pedal, you lift it up. Nothing changes the fact that the throttle is stuck. When we come back, I'll tell you exactly what to do, and it's a simple operation, and it's guaranteed to work 100% of the time.
Hello.
We've got caller Clark on the line.
Backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up in over a period of time. This $4,000 car of mine cost $14,099.
Welcome back. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're going to talk to Clark. But just before we do, let me finish the riddle that I left you with last time. Your throttle's stuck. You don't know what to do. What should you do? And I'm sure you've heard every imaginable thing. Shut the key off. Do this. Throw it in. Apply the parking brake. All that kind of stuff. None of that is going to work. I want you to practice just shifting into neutral. That's all I want you to do. I want you to drive down the road, and I want you to do this 10 times for the safety of you and others. Practice. It's like practicing jumping out of an airplane. Just practice it so it becomes second nature. You're driving down the road, you say to yourself, or maybe you yell at your husband, your throttle's stuck. If it's a column shifter, he's going to reach up, and he's just going to take the palm of his hand, and he's going to pop the shifter up one notch. It won't go into reverse. Just pop it up. If it's a floor shifter or a console shifter, put the palm of your hand forward and just bump the shifter up. Neutral. Every car since 1996, the computer won't let the motor blow up, because you don't even care if the motor blows up. You don't want to die. That's the issue. So all these cars that have had problems, and for the first time in my entire life, I actually have seen a car with a throttle that resulted in a death, and the throttle is stuck wide open. And before now, I've been a non-believer that's happened. But I am working on a case now where a young lady in Payson was killed. And I know, I am 100% sure that car has a throttle that's stuck wide open. And I think I know what caused it. And it's not the throttle cable either. All righty, Clark, you're up, buddy. How can I help you today?
Good morning, sir. I have a, oh, by the way, that's great advice about the, just kick it in a neutral.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people shouldn't die because of a stuck throttle.
Yep.
I have a 2005 Chevrolet, and up front with you, it's been in your shop. In 2011, you guys replaced the steering rack.
Okay.
And just a few months ago, I had it back in because it's doing kind of the same thing.
Okay.
Oh, because of the motor mounts were broken. I don't know if you know the car or not, but
okay.
I had it in a couple months ago, or a few weeks ago, sorry. And it's doing the same thing. The motor mount, I mean, not the motor mount, the steering rack mount was broken again.
Okay.
Now, my kid swears up and down that she hasn't hit anything. It's her car. That she hasn't hit anything or done anything dramatic. She said maybe she bounced across a speed bump she didn't see, but she swears up and down that she hasn't done anything that would be harsh. And I think if the motor mount broke, I mean, if the, steering rack mount, yeah, right, broke, that you'd know it. I mean, that'd be some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
And right away, I don't have any issues with your shop at all. And
thank you.
You guys have always been great to me. But I wondered if you had any idea why that would happen again. Because, again, she swears she hadn't done anything.
You know, this is always a touchy part, and it's typically not between dad and daughter. It's between mother and father. It's between husband and wife. And I'm smart enough to know that I'm not siding against the wives, okay? So no matter whether you're right or wrong, I'm siding with the wife. But in your case, let's discuss this. First of all, we know as fathers that our kids will fib to us, and I've had three, and you have at least one. And what's a heavy hit to them? What's a heavy hit to them? Maybe a catastrophe to you and me. But number two, let's examine the facts here. If we did this in 2011, that's been at least 6 months ago. At least 6 months ago or more.
Well, it was January, in fact.
Okay, so that's been a year and a half ago.
Right.
And yes, that the two metal mounts that hold the rack up against the bottom of the firewall, they can be broken, they can be bent, they can be damaged if the steering is all the way to one side or the other, or it takes a hard hit laterally. But
precisely what I told her.
Okay. But let's examine this. I'm gonna play defense attorney for your daughter. Dad, let's look at the front wear on the tires. How could I possibly have hit the rack hard enough to damage the mount and not toss it out of alignment? If both of the front tires are wearing perfectly, and if both of the front tires have a little bit of wear on the outside edge of each front tire, which is normal. So a little bit, because when we turn right, the tire lays over a little bit. So front wear is perfect, Dad. According to Mark's website, both front tires have a little bit of outside edge wear, but they're flat all across the rest of the tread. And the truck goes straight down the road, Dad, and the steering wheel is centered. So, Dad, how in the world could I have hit something enough to break the rack bolts or the mounts and not cause damage to the front end? Okay, Dad, now let's hear it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it either.
Yeah. And the fact remains is this happens a lot of times. It doesn't happen a lot of times, but when this kind of thing happens, I hope they put two brand new brackets on that. I hope they put four new bolts on that. I hope they put new bushings on those, because that's what we should have done. Now, when we're dealing with safety issues, if we have a rack that goes bad, then typically we replace, yours didn't fail, your mounts did, but we would replace a rack with a different brand. And when we have a water pump that fails, we never go back to that same brand. We want to put the customer in a zone, and lots of shops feel the same way. We want to put the customer in a zone where they don't think we're going to continue to use that crappy part again and again and again. And we're always going after name brands. What I'd like you to do for me is, I know your first name, but would you email me at mark@marksalem.com? I'd like to look at your repair order, and there's a piece of paper you don't have access to, but I do, and that's called a soft copy of the technician. I want to see what it says. And I also want to check to see if pictures were taken, because I'd like to see this for myself.
Okay.
All right, so if you'll do that.
Again, I got no issues with your shop. This isn't any kind of bad news for you. I'm just curious. Maybe it was in a wreck and something is tweaked and stressed.
And you know what? We could have left one of those bolts loose. And we could have not got the bushing in there.
2 minutes.
There's a lot thing we could do. But I can tell you one thing. I'm going to know the truth come Monday or Tuesday. So that's why I want you to just steer me in the right direction. What I'd like you to do is just give me your last name, and then from there I'll find those two. And I already know that you have a 2005 Chevy pickup. So
No, it's an Impala. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Actually, you said 2005 Chevy, and I assumed it was a truck. But then I was thinking, why is that truck out of rack but an Impala?
Sorry.
Is that the rocket ship Impala?
Rocket ship? I don't think it's a rocket ship.
It's got the LT1 Corvette motor in it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
Standard guard variety Impala.
All right. It's not the Impala SS?
No.
Okay. All right. Because I was going to say, she's a lucky girl. She's driving an 05.
Oh, I'd be driving that one.
All right. Well, and then the real hot rods were 94, 95, 96. Those 3 years they made that LT1 small block Chevy race car Impala, yeah, four-door, right, you know, hot rod. Okay. Thank you very much, Clark. I appreciate it. The rest of you, the number is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And before we leave, I wanted to tell you that portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto. They're a full-service, family-owned, husband-wife there every day, 38th Avenue and Indian School. So from I-17 to the 101 south of Indian School, if you don't have a shop, this is where you ought to go. So 38th Avenue and Indian School. Bob and Ellen Frisbee own Larry Harker's Auto. You just can't go wrong, because if you don't like what Bob says, just go talk to Ellen. Now, I'm not always sure that she's going to side against Bob, but they are a wonderful couple, and I want to tell you, the best shops, the better shops on my list are run by both husbands and wives. So we'll be right back, 602-508-0960. If you've got a call, make it now.
Most Friday nights, I can be found in bed of my truck on an old Chase Lounge. Backed into my spot at the driving show. You know, a Fargo light gives off a romantic glow. I never have to wait in line at the popcorn stand, cause there's something women like about a pickup man. You can set my truck on fire, roll it down.
There's something women like about a pickup man. Oh my goodness. Somebody reminded us about that song, so we decided to incorporate it into our show. And as a result, you benefit from being able to laugh at car songs from as long ago and most recently. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years and years and years and years and years experience working on anything that you drive. If it's got a steering wheel, Kurtz can fix it. They're located at I-17 in Bell in Phoenix, and we've been around since 1992, which is about, 10 years, 20 years? They've been a member of the Better Business Bureau in good standing, and they've been a member of my best car repair shops list for a very long time. And Kurt has lots and lots of notes inside his file, and they're all good. So I've never even had to call Kurt and say, Kurt, can we talk about this kind of car? Because he's that kind of guy. All of them are that kind of guy. Heck, the last thing I want to be is a school marm in a kindergarten. But I'm telling you, these shops are the best. And you can find all of them at marksalem.com. If you don't have one, if you're looking for a good auto repair shop, then just go to marksalem.com, and that's the easiest way to handle it. All righty. One thing I wanted to talk to you is we had a commercial, a community spot not too long ago, 10, 20, 15 minutes ago, about stolen cars. There's lots you can do to keep your car from stolen, but there is one thing that many of us do in the independent market. We are willing to make a switch, hide a switch, and make your car not start, not crank, or not fire. Now, we have three different things that has to happen for them to steal your car. We have to crank the engine over, and we have to provide spark and fuel. And folks, I can disable all three of those systems with one wire. So if I were to take and ground the right wire, I could disable one of any of those systems. So we have put switches, and I've seen other shops do this. I saw a shop put a switch deep inside the air conditioning vent, because the lady had long fingernails. So they put a black switch inside the air conditioning vent, and when the lady parked her car at work, she stuck her finger between the vents and she went click, and that car wouldn't crank over. So all you're going to have is a broken window, but they're not going to take your car because they don't know how I grounded that solenoid. They don't know how to unwire what I've already wired. Now, you remember the old dimmer switches? Those of you that have a little gray hair, you understand. Those dimmer switches can be placed anywhere, and they work really well. Another thing I saw not too long ago from a stereo shop. The lady had a six-way seat. So up and down, forward, backwards, recline, forward. And one of the switches was bad. So the stereo shop put his relay on the bad seat switch. So when she got out, she just reached over and pushed it down. And her car would crank over because she wanted to hear the car because they were stealing cars in her neighborhood. And she wanted to hear them crank it over. That was telling her that they were stealing it. So she, if somebody broke into her car, then they would get go, but it wasn't going to start. So there are other things. You can put clubs on your steering wheel and they work. But there is an easy way around a club. And you can put all kinds of alarm systems in and they work. But there's a few out there that know how to bypass those. But when you do your own bypass, that's usually pretty special. And I remember that I saw a Corvette with a cigarette lighter issue. And we had disconnected the cigarette lighter from actually functioning, but we made it that the car would only run with the cigarette lighter in. And it never popped out, of course, because it's not working. So those are the kinds of issues that we run across. And so if you work with your shop, and you have to say, I want a secret switch.
1 minute.
And I want you to kill the fuel system. Or I want you to kill the spark system. I want it to crank over but not start. Or I don't want it to crank over at all. Most all of us can do that. And sometimes it's as little as $75. And sometimes, depending on how sophisticated you get, it can be $150. Man, then sometimes you're in the area of an alarm after that. All right, so we're talking about lots of different stuff, but if you'd like to join us, you can, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, so you can call now. And if you have a bet between you and your wife about a particular subject matter, then I'm just tell you right now, I always side with the wife. It's just the path of least resistance. and that's an important thing for me. Putting myself out here as somebody who knows cars real well, you can't believe the beating I take sometimes. But nevertheless, 602-508-0960. I'm a master tech and have been for 25 years, and I'm good at guessing and good at explaining problems you may have.
Kelly Clark has been repairing cars in the...
All about that demon automobile, the metal monster with the polyglass wheels, the end result of the dream of Henry Ford. Well, now I've got a car that's mine alone, but me and the finance company own a ready-made pile of manufactured grief. And if I ain't out of gas in a pouring rain, I'm a change in a flat in a hurricane. I once spent 3 days lost on a clover leaf.
Spent 3 days lost on a clover leaf. I wonder how many of us have done that. But back then it was just a different lifestyle, and I'm not quite sure I am quite sure it's better than today. That's what I really wanted to say. Okay, we talk a lot about auto repair shops, and Mike and Tom, give me just 1 minute. If you need a body shop, you better find a good one, and here's why. You don't want the body shop to dance to the music of who's paying the bill, because they're going to cut corners and it's not in your best interest. You don't want somebody making decisions that feather their bed and doesn't fix your car, and that's why Phoenix Body Works is a great place to go. Now, Greg May, the owner, he'll be your advocate if you have an insurance claim. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free and insurance company-friendly, so they're not a guy that's in your face. They know how to work with insurance companies, and they get along fine. Greg will make sure your car's put back together the right way, on time, and at an affordable price with quality parts. It is important to repair your vehicle to its pre-accident condition. I've been telling folks about Phoenix Body Works for years and years, and I've heard nothing but excellent things from their customers. I'm proud to have Greg May and Phoenix Body Works on my list of good shops. 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley. So anywhere in the northern half of the valley, you should probably go to Phoenix Body Works. No matter who's paying the bill, they're going to watch out after you. They're going to watch out for you every time. That's Phoenix Body Works, 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. Mike, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you today?
Hi. You know, I got a question. You were talking about car alarms earlier.
Uh-huh.
And on my 2005 Ford Focus, I have two sets of keys that were both given me by the dealership. And in the end of one of the keys, or both of them, there's a little slot where a circuit goes. And without that circuit, you can't start the car. So if I duplicate my key because I want a third set, it won't work. It'll just let me in the car.
Yep. It's a $125 fix.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, if I, cause I was like, I can give my maintenance guy at the apartment a set in case I lose my keys or something like that.
Yeah. One of the things that you might want to do is there are two kinds of keys, and one of them has a resistor built in that the vehicle auto theft system, the anti-theft system, has to recognize. Now, there's some of them that just have to be matched to the car. So I want you to do something you've probably never done before, and that's pull out your owner's manual. And go through the owner's manual, because you might be lucky enough to find out that with those two keys, you can have another one made, and there is a relearn process in your owner's manual where they send you through a process, and it'll oftentimes take 5-6 minutes of your time. You have to follow it exactly. But do both keys work today in that car?
Sure do. I used a spare set the other week, in fact.
And I think you should, when you have two sets like you have, you should switch them every year. Because we run into lots of problems where the security system takes over because the key is worn, and the repair oftentimes is get us your other key. So switch back and forth. But if you want a third key, look and see if you can have one cut at a key store. And most of the key guys will know the answer to that, whether you're going to have it reprogrammed to your car. But most of the time, there's a relearn procedure in your owner's manual.
Okay, I appreciate your help on this.
Good luck to you, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you,
Tom, good morning to you. What's up on your mind?
Morning, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
I have a motorhome question for you.
Okay.
1996, the Class A. It's a Newmar. 38.5 feet, got the Ford chassis on it.
Okay.
70,000 miles. It's what I would call road wild. When you're going down the freeway, you feel like it drifts a little, you turn the wheel, it doesn't react, and then it doesn't react, so you end up seesawing with the steering wheel and trying to keep it in that lane. Do you have any ideas where I should go with that?
Oh, yeah. how much does that weigh?
Let's see, it's 19,500, so that's the one that's got a tag axle on the back on it.
All right, okay.
So I was curious about that, too.
All right, it's bigger than the F53 Ford chassis. That was just a two-axle, 35-foot that weighed 13, 14, 15,000 pounds, so that's quite different. You probably have 19.5 tires on that, I bet.
Or oh, it's still got 16.
Oh, it does. Okay. You still could have an F53 chassis that they hung a tag on it.
I think that's what it is,
If you're kind of understanding the front end, do you have a solid axle on the front end, or do you have independent suspension?
Solid?
Okay, good. I want you to crawl underneath the front and get somebody to help you. And if your wife's going to be sitting in the driver's seat and you're laying underneath the front wheels, you better make sure that you're on talking terms that day, if you get my drift. So you're going to crawl underneath there, and you're going to first have her put her hand at 12 o'clock, and she's going to go left about the width of her fist, then back to center, and then right the width of her fist and back to center. You're going to teach her how to do that. Then you're going to crawl underneath there, and you're going to grab a hold with your right hand. You're going to grab a hold of the steering shaft that goes into the steering box. And with your left hand, I want you to touch the left front tire. And I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pay attention and see if both your hands move in complete synchronization. And the answer is they won't. The steering column will move, but the wheel won't. So you're going to say to her, honey, I want you to go left another fist width. Go left another 4 inches. Go right another 4 inches. Just slow. Center. Left, center, right, okay? And I want you to find out which joint has got the slop in it, because there'll be a tie rod end, and the top will move, but the bottom won't. That joint's worn out, so the your truck is wandering for that reason. At 70,000 miles, you can probably pull in a little bit of the adjustment of the steering box. You can probably find something underneath there, the idler arm, somewhere along the pitman arm, inner tie rod ends, outer tie rod ends. You're going to find something there that's causing that thing to wander. You want to make sure that you got your front tires at full inflation, and if you have 16s on there, they're probably, what, 85 pounds?
Yeah,
okay.
At 85.
Okay, and you want to make sure that the tire wear doesn't tell you something. Now, on your Ford with a solid axle, when you turn right and left, they're going to put a lot of caster in that, so you're going to wear the outside edges, and that's okay, as long as they're even left to right. So if the right side's worn on the outside edge and the left side isn't, there's a problem. But okay. Any good alignment shop should be able to get this under control. Now, before we go any further, I also want you to drop the air pressure by about 20 pounds and go drive it.
Okay.
I want to know if there's a difference between fully inflated tires and tires that are 20 under.
All right.
And that will help me determine how bad this play is or if it might be a steering box problem or a pressure problem. But you having to drive the car, any good alignment guy is probably going to take those two front tires and move the front edge a little bit, make it a little bit in so that it stops wandering left and right. Because what's happening is as you're doing this, the right tire becomes dominant, and then you turn the steering wheel to the left a little bit. Now the left tire becomes dominant, so your alignment may be off. And it's going to be hard to find somebody that can do that tag axle. What part of town do you live in?
I'm out in Goodyear.
Yeah, talk to S&S Tire first. If you're out
okay.
in Goodyear, call S&S and say, can you do a three-axle motorhome with a 19,000 GVW? And tell them you've got the solid front end, and can you bend that axle if I need to bend it, or can you put some ellipticals in for the upper lower ball joints, or the kingpins, I should say? Can you rebuild that front end? And if they can't, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go there. If they can do the alignment, let's go there and find out where you're at. And then we'll
next caller, Leonard.
All right.
Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a good day.
You're more than welcome, Tom. Thank you for spending your time with me this morning. Leonard, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a 98 Honda Accord with a little over 100,000 miles. My check engine light came on, had it checked out at two places, and they said catalytic converter. What do I do?
Okay. When you say two places, what did you pay at place number one?
Well, number one, I went to Larry Harkin, so he's reliable.
Okay, he is.
And I didn't pay anything for him to check the engine, you know.
Yeah.
I put the little computer on, and it said the light, and it read check in catalytic converter.
Okay. Second place, what, they charge you? Anything?
No.
Okay. All right. Here's what I'm thinking. Now, Larry, Bob Frisbee over at Larry Harker's, who's the owner, and his wife.
Yes.
He really knows his stuff. I respect him. I think he's in the top 10%. He may even be better than I am. He's a good guy. The problem is that without some work, and I don't know how much work he did or if he scanned your Honda and he found this information and that's how he came, but sometimes we have an O2 sensor in front and behind the converter. The converter's job is to clean up any fuel that's in the exhaust. So the front one should say, I don't have much air and I have a lot of fuel. And if the converter's working, the back one should say, ooh, got lots of air, no fuel. But if one of those oxygen sensors goes bad, then the computer will blame the catalytic converter on the problem. Now, do you have any loss of power concerns?
No.
Okay. And all you've got is your check engine light right now. You have no other drivability problems.
No.
Okay. This is what I would say, no matter who it is. Even if it was my shop, Larry Harker's shop, the dealership, you go back and you say, give me a bid on the repair of this, and I want to know if this doesn't turn that light off, or if that light comes back on, and I have the same code, how are we going to unwind this deal that could cost you $1,000 or more?
Uh-huh.
That's what you're going to say. You're going to say that to my shop, you're going to say it to every single one of them, because he says to you, I'm guessing, and here's why. Because the O2 sensors are talking, and I can make the front one go rich and lean. I can make the back one go rich and lean. The catalytic converter is about 100 degrees cooler than I want it to see. And so I'm thinking to myself, that's working. The front and the back O2 sensors are working, but the cat's not because I can't get it hot enough. Now, another thing that you might do is, what percentage of your driving is on the highway, and what percentage is it around town slow?
Most of it's around town, but occasionally we take road trips a couple times a year down to California or up north.
Okay, that's not good enough a couple times a year. Does your wife like the outlet stores, either up in Anthem or down near Casa Grande?
Oh, I'm lucky. I don't have one of those things.
All right. Well, let's talk about your girlfriend.
She's got her own car.
Well, Leonard, you got to start driving your car on some of those longer trips. Take her to Sedona tomorrow for lunch.
Okay.
Do something, because it's entirely possible your cat could clean up by itself. The 100,000 miles doesn't bother me, and the 98 doesn't bother me, the year. I'm bothered by the tremendous amount of city driving that you're driving, and we need to take that horse out of the barn and go get that catalytic converter red hot.
Well, we just took a trip down to Rocky Point, so I did put some miles on
okay.
there.
All right. And you took your car, not her car?
My car.
Oh, Leonard, you stand up, son of a gun, you. All right. Well, you're going to need to talk to Bob, because you need to ask him those questions. You know, are you sure it's a catalytic converter? Now, you got two choices. You can go with an aftermarket one, or you can go with one from Honda. If you were at my shop, I would say to you, I'm going to tell you your worst-case scenario is the Honda one. But I'm going to save $200 on the front side, because $300 on the front side, $400 on the front side, because I'm going to put an aftermarket in. And if the aftermarket doesn't work, I'll take the aftermarket out, put the Honda in, and this is your total. So your total amount is $850, let's say. But I might get you out of here for $400.
Last question. What if I don't fix it?
Well, when is the next time you go through emissions?
About a year from now.
Then you got to deal with it before you go through emissions.
Okay.
Because the check engine light will kick you out.
Does it do any harm to anything?
The first time you have a problem with a catalytic converter, if the cat's truly bad, you will run into an area where the car won't go faster than 25 miles an hour, because the catalytic converter will plug up. That's your risk. Your risk is that the catalytic converter will plug up and leave you stranded somewhere where you can drive it 25, 35, 45 miles an hour for about 2 miles, and then it runs out of power. You have to pull off the side of the road. You better have a picnic basket,
make
some jack-in-the-box tacos. You're going to eat, let it cool off, and you're going to go another 5 miles in another 20 minutes. So that's your downside. Okay, good luck to you, Leonard. Thank you very much for calling. And this portion is brought to you by Quality Transmission. If you have an issue with the transmission, Bob and Steve are the people you should call. They have many years of experience. They don't guess with your money. They know how to repair transmissions. I use them myself. Quality is located in Tempe on McClintock North University. No matter where you're at in the East Valley, they are the place that I think you should go. Every Saturday, right here, 10 o'clock, we're here talking about cars. But you can also go to my website, marksalem.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on a lot of places, and I am available 24 hours a day. You can send me an email, and I answer everyone myself. Every email gets an answer from me. So between now and next week, please wear your seatbelt. Please don't drink and drive, and God bless you. And have a nice weekend, hopefully with your family. Bye-bye.
This was a